Notice in verse 14 in chapter 1 in the book of Ruth, I'll be as brief as I possibly can, and but I've got a few points that God gave me that I want to bring to you tonight with the help of the Lord, dealing with this verse of Scripture. But the Bible says in Ruth 1:14, "And they lifted up their voice." And we should never be ashamed to lift up our voice, certainly for God. Amen? This is, unfortunately, we're in one of the quietest places there just about is in the world, and that's in the house of God. And that's the one place that ought to be making more noise for the glory of God than any place that I can think of tonight on the face of this earth. But, people of the world, they like to give us a hard time if we have a good service or if we have shouting, or they'll say, "I don't want to go down there where they hoop and holler," they'll call it, and shouting or running and jumping, they'll say, "I don't want to go down there at that place." But yet they'll go and they'll jump and they'll hoop and they'll holler some of these other places, you know. But it's good to lift up your voice, especially for the Lord. But notice what the Bible says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again." So they've wept before and they're weeping again, amen? "And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." Notice that and pay close attention to that if you will. Now, if we'll look in this scripture and in this chapter here, we're going to learn something and find out something. But one of the things we find out, there's two different kinds of people that is actually portrayed here in this passage of Scripture. And how nearly alike people seem to be until they are tried. It makes all the difference in the world how different that people can be until they are tried. And these ladies were tried here, you see. But when trial, we find, comes, one goes on and the other will go backward. Amen? So trying times determines what type of person that we are. And it shows how that we are portrayed. Now, no doubt if you've been a Christian any time at all, then you have been tried times in this life. I've always said God doesn't tempt us, the devil tempts us, but God tries us sometimes, you know, in this Christianity or in this Christian life that we're living in. So tonight, hopefully, as we would have permission from God to leave this service, hopefully we would be the the type of person that would be going forward and that would not be going backward. Now, the first thing that I would like to point out and notice tonight, if you will, Orpha kissed Naomi, the Bible says here, but that was all. That was all that she done, was that she gave her a kiss. So that was the end of her concern, and it was the end of her conviction, we find here in the Word of God. So Orpha in the Bible here had some respect, and we must give her maybe some credit, if you will, tonight. But there is a kind, there is a kiss, if you will, of respect we find in this Scripture. And there is affection that is here. And we also find that there is some hypocrisy found in this kiss that we find here in the Word of God. And if I had a title or a text tonight that I'd like to leave with you, it would be this. It would be a kiss without conviction. A kiss without conviction. So we find that Orpha here had a kiss or gave a kiss, but it was without conviction tonight. So sometimes we find We think, well, how well that it is, maybe to do certain things, but it may not be just exactly what God is looking for, you find. So, and also we find not only is there a kiss of respect and a kiss of affection and a kiss of hypocrisy, but I found in studying there's one more thing. There is a kiss of passion. There's a kiss of passion that we find here. So it has been said that a kiss may touch off the very fires of hell, you see. And so Orpha here, the Bible shows us that I was an old woman, and her kissed an old woman, if you will, but her mother-in-law, who was going back home, and she thought, why should I sacrifice maybe my life and while I'm still young? And she chose, you find, an apparent good, but she was looking out, like a lot of people are at this day and time. They're not looking out for anybody else, but they're looking out for their own selves. So, you see, that's not who we need to be looking out for. So many people only are trying to find what they can for themselves in this day and age that we're living in. We ought to be looking out for each other. That's what the will of God is, you see, is for me to look out for you and for you to look out for me and other people that's in this world. If no one's looking out for them, then we find so many times they're desperate and, brethren, they have a hard time. So a kiss indicates we find some selfishness or self-surrender. And this is, beloved, if you will, this is as high as Orpha had ever intended or had ever attended for things to be. So she proves herself true, we find here in the Word of God, beloved, today. And notice, if you will, she proved herself as true as some other people did here in the Word of God. And one of them was Naomi. Brother, one of them was Lot, that she kind of proved herself to be like. And brethren, today, Lot left Abraham, the Bible says, in the Word of God. So she did not care for Naomi, nor did she even care for her God. It's sad to say today that so many people don't care anything about anybody in this life. They don't care about Christianity. They don't care about the house of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about prayer, our beloved, in this world. And they don't even care about the God that created them today. You see, He is our Creator today. I would have never been here. You would have never been here and experienced the things that you've experienced, especially the holy things of God, if it hadn't have been for your Creator. What a loving God we have tonight. What a caring God we have tonight. If there's anybody that deserves honor, that deserves praise, brother, it is certainly God today. Oh, we're to find a time and a place in our lives that we would bow down and surrender everything that we have to Him. You know, it's good. It's good sometimes just to pull out your car keys and throw them on an altar somewhere. I pull out our billfolds and throw them on the altar. I throw our whole body on the altar and say, God, it's not mine, but it's yours. It's good, you see. I have found myself walking through the house at times that I live in, and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for the roof that's over my head. This is not mine. It's just a place that you've given me to live for a while I'm here. I thank you for the shelter I have, but God, it's yours, and you're the one that gave it to me. Oh, how great, how mighty, how powerful that He is tonight, and how much praise that He deserves. He deserves all the praise and the glory and the honor that we can give Him today. Yes, So whatever we do, let's don't do for ourselves. Whatever you're going to do in your Christian life, in your Christianity, don't do it in order that that you may have some credit or that you may have some praise or glory. I'm not up here tonight to get any praise. I'm not up here tonight to get any glory for anything. I want to give it to God, the deserving one today. He's the one that deserves it all. Now look with me, if you will, on down as the second thing I want to mention tonight, by the help of the Lord, we need to observe Ruth's attitude, if you will. She had an attitude here, the Bible teaches us, and this daughter-in-law, could be called a reckless Ruth, if you will. You know, it's amazing what that you find sometimes if you just really pray and talk to God and read the Scripture and what's in there and what the Lord can show you. Our pastor will tell you that. But I believe here that this daughter-in-law could be called a reckless Ruth, if you will. She had a deep conviction. Amen. That's what we need today, church. It's a deep conviction. Do you agree with me with that? Unselfishness, brethren, was her way of life. I believe a lot of people today that's selfish about a lot of things. But we find this woman was unselfish. Amen. Oh, today, what a fanatic she was. But she did not kiss as she proved her own way by some words. Amen. It's not altogether what you do today that people see you do. It's not what people see you to do today that makes you what that God would have you to be or that God would bless you. Amen. That's right. So Orpha went back, we find in the Word of God. But Ruth went forward. That's what we need to do tonight. As we have come together in this service here this evening, as being God's will and He gives us permission, brethren, every day of our lives, we need to be taking steps forward. Amen. That's right. Listen, just coming to church, that looks good. It looks good on us. When Orpha, I kissed that woman there, that looked good in the eyes of people. Maybe her walking over and kissing this lady. You know, it looks good when you go out the front door on Sunday morning or Wednesday night with your Bible tucked under your arm and making your way as far as the neighbors are concerned. That may look good to them. They say, well, so-and-so, that looks good. They're going to church. I'm proud of them. But it's not I'm going to church that says it all. It's not carrying your Bible that says it all. What says it all is the walk that you walk, the talk that you talk. Amen. That's what God's going to be judging us for when we stand before Him. It's not how much I carried my Bible to church, but it's how much have I read it down through the week. Amen. It's not that I would bow down, brethren, upon my knees. It looks good to bow down upon your knees as it did for this woman to kiss brethren, this other lady here. But it's not the bowing of my knees that's going to count before God. It's the humbleness of my heart. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for me just to bow my knees and not humble my heart, but He wants me to humble myself before Him. And that's what He wants of you. And therefore He'll bless us. He'll bless us because that we humble our hearts down before Him. You know, if you come to church and you raise your hands, but you just raise them to be raised them, that doesn't mean anything to God. But if you raise them to give praise unto Him, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story, amen. To raise your hands high in order that you're giving Him praise and you're giving Him glory and honor for all that He's done. I love it for me and you. So I want to give you something here, if you will. There's a man by the name of Matthew Henry that I read something about. And the first lesson to learn, Matthew Henry said, the first lesson to learn, and I wrote this down in Christ's school, he said, was self-denial. He said the first lesson to learn in Christ's school was self-denial. And you know what? There's not very much of that going on this day and time. We don't want to deny our brothers and sisters ourselves. Ruth here we find in the Bible, she was fully surrendered and she forsook all. Amen. She forsook all. That's what God is looking for in our Christianity today. He's looking for a full surrender, not just a part of one, but He's looking for a full surrender. God's looking for you and I tonight, church, that we would forsake everything and cleave to Him this evening. Oh, if you want to put a smile on God's face, why just forsake everything of this old world? Amen. We've got too much anyway. Our eyes see too much. Our ears hear too much. Far more than they need to be seeing and hearing today. Are you in agreement with me on that, our brethren, today? So we need to forsake things of this old world that's out here today. We don't need to get more and more of what's in this world. We need to get more and more of God. Have more and more of the holiness of God in our hearts and in our lives today. And the third thing I'd like for you to notice here, if you will, let us notice the suicide of selfishness. There's a suicide of selfishness today. And selfishness, our brother, it robs you. Do you know that? And it robs the soul that we have of a lot of blessings today. Over in Matthew 4 and 14 today, the Bible tells us there, you know, Christ turned the stones to bread to satisfy ourselves today. And selfishness will cause you to do that, to satisfy yourself. But we don't want to satisfy ourselves today. So you see, we need to be doing what God would have us to do today. Selfishness causes a person to turn a man away from God. Did you know that? It'll cause a person to turn toward a lot of the things of the world. Now notice with me, if you will, let us note that about Ruth and Orpha's life here, that they're having in friendship. The Bible teaches us here that there are those that are kissed and those that who cleave. Some try to get all they can out of you, and some try to bless you in every way that they can. That's the kind of person that God wants. He doesn't want me to try to get everything I can out of people. That's not what will bless our lives. That's not what God will fill you with the power and with the Spirit of God. Now, there are Orphas and there are Ruths in the church. And there are those who kiss the church and they leave some sort of an impression that they really love it. And there's those that cleave to the church and they also prove it, but there are those who respect the church and those who are devoted to it. There's a difference. There's a difference that I found between those who turn away when burdens get hard and those who sacrifice the more during trials and the burdens that they have in their life today. And this life that we're living in is full of trials and it's full of burdens. You know that, and I do too. And you know, I don't care if a pastor is doing what he ought to be doing and if he's really where God would have him to be, any pastor would be able, in any time, would be able to identify the Ruths and the Orphas that they have in the church that they attend to. You can. If you're there for a little while, after a while, it shows up. If the man of God will live where he needs to be living for God, God will reveal to that man. Now, He will. He'll show him who the Orphas are, who the people are that are really genuine for God. The people that are not there for a show of themselves, but they're there because they love God and because that they want more and more of what God has for them. We're coming down to the end of this way. You know, this old journey, it's My life is just so swiftly passing by. I can't believe sometimes where time went to. I laugh and tell people sometimes. I say some of the older people used to tell me that before I turned around a time or two, I'd be getting older. And certainly that's happening. And a lot of health issues that I've had over the last several years. But there's one thing that I know for sure. There's something down on the inside that's not worried about when I lay down the walks of this life. When I'm finished with this place that we're living in here, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. I don't worry about that. I know for sure because I was there when it happened. I was there when it took place. I remember very well in 1959 of June walking down an old sawdust trail and surrendered my heart and life to God, asking Him to save me. And I want to tell you something. I remember when I was just a young boy, before I got saved, I'm going to tell this, I'm going to come to a close here in just a minute. I'm worn out. I don't go like I used to go or preach as hard as I used to preach. Used to an hour and a half, just about got me started. But now about 30 minutes or less sometimes. But, you know, I remember this particular thing happened to me one night. I want to tell this in a way of testimony before I close. But I remember going to bed just as a young boy one night. And I remember it was like a dream came to me, and I thought I was in the awfulest fire Brother Earl ever was. I woke my mother up screaming. I was screaming. I thought I was in hell. I really did. I thought I had.